This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good morning and welcome. Hour number two begins. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And your time check? It is 7:07, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. President Trump makes his move. The market reacts. It was huge. One of the largest gains ever in history in a single day. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is that you can expect quite a bit of volatility for a while, up and down in the market. It's what's going to happen. Things will shake out and settle down when there is more certainty, when the tariff issues are resolved. And when they are resolved, I can guarantee you that they'll be resolved to the benefit of the U.S., to the benefit of us. One of the underlying factors that people need to remember: we're the largest consumers on the planet. And with that comes a great deal of power. China wants to play hardball with us. Well, through Trump's actions and the way he has relaxed tariffs, for most countries for at least 90 days, it really isolates China. And that's really going to irritate them, and it's going to hurt them. Remember, they need us more than we need them. Now, there's an asterisk with that. Yeah, so if they play the supply chain game, and supply chains will be impacted by these tariffs, make no mistake about it, it will create some pain here. It just will. But I think, knowing this president, that it will end up being to our benefit. I absolutely believe that. The downside of that also is, we were really getting the best of them in Trump's first term. And then all of a sudden, a seal and a baby chicken had sex at a wet market and COVID was spread. Yes, I'm being facetious. China unleashed all hell. And if people still don't understand that, people say, well, why would they unleash something that could kill their own people? Because they're China. They're commies.
They don't care.
You have no idea.
They don't care.
The way their infrastructure works. Look, you see Xi Jinping, their president. He's the face. Everything that happens really happens on the military side. They're the ones that are really ultimately in charge. And they're the really scary, okay, died in the red wall commies. Hardcore. That's the real China. But they're smart enough to put a pretty face on it. Oh, yeah, we're like everybody else. No, they're not. So when Trump kind of showed them up, I mean, not kind of, he did, trying to renegotiate and work on trade deals with China, they lost face. And you know that kind of culture does not take that lightly at all. And I believe that the answer was COVID. And yes, they lost some of their own people, but they don't. It's not a nation or a theocracy or anything else that's based on the rights of an individual. They don't give a darn about the individual. It's communism. It's about the mother country, right? Even though they have their own little insider system, you know, those in the government and those high up in the military. It's not true communism anyway. But Trump showed him up once. What's going to be the fallout when he does it again? And it is a genuine concern. It's a genuine concern. We have a great deal of leverage. We are the consumers. We are their customers. We'll see what happens. I think the outcome overall is going to be a good one. But we are going to sustain some pain and sacrifice in the meantime. So this market thing, I'm very excited that it turned around, but I know better. There's still going to be plenty of ups and downs. Let's go to the Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. And David, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. They should make the, part of the debt reduction, national debt, should be tied to the stock market, basically. Very volatility is good. It makes the most opportunity. Young people get in the market, and companies like Tesla, who should be rewarded for the risk they take. So goes people and the market, and it could be debt dedicated, and they lower capital gains rates with quicker sale turnover, and that could reduce the national debt. Thank you for taking the call.
So would that be kind of a sort of a tax on market transactions type thing? And there's so much action in the market, you would try to capitalize on that? I don't know how that would work. I can tell you this. If the Senate would get with the House in terms of a budget and spending cuts, we'd be a lot better off in trying to deal with that huge debt. But the Senate, they wussied out. And the House is calling for more substantial cuts, which is exactly what is needed right now. But so far, the Senate is not going along with it. And that's an irritant we'll talk about in a little bit. In the meantime, though, Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines and Thunder Dave, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Bob, Greg, good morning. So, you hit it right on the head with China, though, Bob. What people need to understand, this is going to be a long game. They are a society that's been around, established society for about 6,000 years, and probably between 4,000 and 5,000 years ago is when they initiated their plan for world domination. So they're in it for the long haul, and they've got a lot of experience of being patient and their plans. So we're going to have a long game here, but I agree with you. Trump is doing the best thing that you can do, you know?
Yeah, we're just going to have to stay the course, and the course at times is going to be, it's going to be a little bit rough. Hey, by the way, on this day, mm-hmm. in 1942, the Bataan Death March begins. If you ever explore that, in the historical perspective, and I can't even give you an idea of the kind of atrocities that took place. This was, right very early on the start of World War II. It was right after the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, and then they went into the Philippines, and, you know, we had forces there, but we weren't really prepared for all of that. And even when we had, some help, that still the Japanese had everybody surrounded. And so we were forced to retreat to the Bataan Peninsula. We held tough for like 3 months, but we were getting starved out, and we weren't getting the kind of air and naval support that was needed. And that's when there was a surrender. And the next day, the Bataan Death March began. Of those who survived, this was 85 miles they were marched in 6 days.
Wow.
With one meal of rice. Not one meal of rice a day. One meal of rice for the 85 miles that they marched.
Unreal.
A lot of death. A lot of Filipinos died and a lot of Americans died in the Bataan Death March on this day in 1942. We've got so much to talk about, but right now it's your turn. What's bugging you? This is a chance for you to, you know, air it out, get it off your chest. And it can do with China, the stock market, something smaller, bigger, whatever's on your mind. 877-975-9825. What's bugging you is brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs, so call in now.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it's time for a little segment we call What's Bugging You? It's brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. So call in now and air it out. 877-975-9825. Good morning, Stephen. What's bugging you?
Well, we love Florida Pest Control, by the way, but what's bugging me is all these people who are crowing about how brilliant Donald Trump is, including Mr. Trump, as well as yourself. And the reason why it's bugging me is because you guys can't seem to think two steps ahead of where you are at. Here's step one. The next time a Democrat, well, the president has shown that a president by himself can declare an emergency and impose a tax at any amount from any country he wants. So the next time a Democrat is in the White House, they're going to declare a climate emergency, and they're going to impose the entire Green New Deal by executive fiat without a single vote in Congress. That's number one. Number two, Trump can't keep his mouth shut. He is boasting about how he is having all these international leaders from 70 countries
coming to kiss his, he used a more vulgar word than behind. But every one of those leaders of every one of those 70 countries is taking a political risk by coming to the United States to negotiate. They have political opposition in their country. And what's going to happen is that every time they are up for re-election, their opposition is going to put a video of Donald Trump on their TV saying how they should be thrown out of power because they went over and kissed Donald Trump's behind. So what say you?
Well, I would say that your concerns are mostly valid. Oh, I accidentally hung up on you. I apologize. But your concerns are valid. You're exactly right that any power that a president can utilize that sets precedent for the opposing party to do similar things, that is true. And I totally believe if, whether Trump was here or not, if the Democrats do get in power again, oh, they will go crazy over the climate and other things that they will force down our throats. Hopefully people won't accept true authoritarianism, which truly does come from the left. Let there be no doubt about it. So Trump might not be your cup of tea, and the way that he strategizes and plays the game may not be the way that you prefer it or the way that maybe perhaps you would do it, but it is all part of who he is and a strategy that he employs. And yes, he comes off sometimes a little rude and a little arrogant, but there is more going on there behind the scenes than just what comes out of his mouth when the press is there. But there are times, I'm a huge supporter of his, as you know, but there are times when I cringe too. So,
yes.
You know, there's validity to absolutely to what you're saying. And I did notice, though, as much as he said, yeah, they're coming here to kiss my butt, he was much more respectful of China, talking about how smart a guy Xi is and complimenting him and saying, I don't blame him for the issues. These were my predecessors that allowed these things to be put into place and these trade imbalances to grow.
Yeah. Chinese are going to do what they can get by with.
Yeah. Nope. Appreciate the input, Stephen. Good morning, Mark. What's bugging you?
Good morning, Bob and Greg. As much as I love and support Trump, also, what's bugging me was his lily-livered, limp-wristed, wimpy retraction of the tariffs. All he proved is that he's a slave to the stock market. The stock market falling 7% in 3 days is not a reason for him to delay, and I think he's not going to delay. I think he's, by and large, going to avoid doing the whole tariff regime. So that kind of bugs me. He caved into the stock market.
Yeah, I totally disagree with that idea.
Me too. Yeah.
I think that when he puts a game plan together, he already knows ahead of time what is going to... He knew that the market was going to react negatively. They hate that. Look, Wall Street built their these numbers up because they were farming out all the jobs all over the world. And these huge trade imbalances, Wall Street and investors were making huge money off it. Of course, they absolutely hate what he's doing. And they're going to react in such a way. And his pulling back on the tariffs was more of a reward to countries that are coming to the table and not going to play hardball with him. They didn't do the reciprocal. They didn't go back. And for them, they're going to get a 90-day reprieve. He didn't say it's off the table.
Yep.
I don't see it as limp-wristed at all. I see it as cunning and smart.
It was about them coming to the table, like you said. And he got on to all of you who were overreacting, doing your... He's like, what are you doing, you know? Panikins, I think he called them.
Panikins, and he isolated China all in one fell swoop.
Yep.
It's brilliance.
Absolutely.
It really is.
Yeah.
Phil, you're on the air. What's bugging you?
What's bugging me is when you mentioned the Bataan Death March, the school systems today don't teach a single word about World War II. I got an interesting little story. When I was in the Navy, there was an old Navy chief, and he was on a gunboat that was captured at Corregidor. They ran out of fuel, beached the boat. Every gun was facing inland. And when they were captured, the Japs could not find a single live round of ammo on the boat. And they treated them a little different than the average prisoner. And they transported the crew to the mainland, and they worked on docks as longshoremen. He says that's what saved our lives. We were able to pick up scraps of grain and rice and what have you, and we got through the war. And he told me a cute little story. He got buddy-buddy with a Jap corporal, and the Jap corporal took him into town and got him fixed up, you know what I mean? And he said if they found out, both of us would have been killed. But that's a gospel true story about the Japanese and a brave American chief.
Well, yeah, and I'm glad it worked out for him. But for many Americans, they were slaughtered, tortured, and starved to death. Good morning, John. What is bugging you?
Hey, yeah. First, I think Team Trump knows what they're doing. They're making America great again, and let's give them the benefit of the doubt for a couple of months. Let's see what happens. But 21 horses horrifically burned alive in the Reddick barn fire. Lots of babies will be born dead today, stillborn, created to die before taking their first breath. God is so good. He's so good.
It's called What's Bugging You, not... Don't be weird.
The idea of a deity and all yes. controlling omnipotent deity for whatever uh-huh. reason irritates John.
He apparently does.
John, bad things happen all the time, and if you use it properly, it helps to reveal the glory of God. And you'll see it all around you if you pay attention. Community will come together. It was awful that mm-hmm. those 21 horses perished.
Yeah.
But you'll actually see the community maybe come together as a result.
And if you want to, you know, save babies, talk to your Democrat friends about that.
Amen, brother.
Thank you.
And I mean, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, Attorney General Pam Bondi creating Second Amendment Task Force. Details next. 97.3 The Sky. Good morning. And welcome. Yeah, it's another day in paradise and another day with the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Welcome, my friend. 7:35 right now, your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Top story, Trump outmaneuvers the folks and stocks soar. And global bonds rally behind the Trump trade push, and people have different perceptions of what has taken place and what is taking place. And then, of course, there's concerns about the future. I summed it up in my promo the other day. This is before the stock market soared, by the way. I said, are we turning the corner on the market? Okay? Mm-hmm. It's before anybody else thought there was going to be any change coming soon. And I said, what's ahead? Buckle up and keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle. That was my promo because that's what I'm instructing people to do. This it was a great day on the market yesterday. You're already going to see fluctuations today. Might even have a down day overall. And it is going to be up and down. The term you want to keep in your back pocket is volatility. Volatility. Now, volatility can, as an earlier caller said, present buying opportunities.
Yeah.
When it's volatile downward, yeah, that's when you buy. And when it's volatile upward, that's when some people will sell. And that even helps to perpetuate sort of this up and down market, if you will, moving through some extremes. Well, it'll start to shake out. It's going to take some time. And I mentioned this earlier. You know, there's been a real role reversal. As kind of the old rules are out now. And those are, like my dad said, when I registered to vote for Ronald Reagan back in 1980, I registered as a Republican. And my dad, you got to remember, I mean, he worked for Chrysler for 30 years. And he said, oh, no. Oh. I mean, he wasn't angry at all. He's like, oh, the party of the rich, huh?
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, yeah, Dad, I guess I'm aiming high, you know. And, yeah, it was a great exchange. And, of course, you know, he had to admit that Ronald Reagan, yeah, at first he had a lot of question marks for him, but he uh-huh. had to admit that he turned the economy around and he did some great things. So that was the perception, and it was based on some accurate things. The union and the Democrats were tied at the hip, and that was a huge advantage for Democrats. They could tout that they were the party of the working class, and the Republicans were the party of the rich. And that was the perception and somewhat the reality. But that's completely flipped. And it flipped a few cycles ago. This didn't happen with Donald Trump. It started happening before that. And I began noticing that Wall Street was spending more money on Democrat candidates than Republicans. And this goes back to maybe around George H.W. Bush, kind of in there. Well, look what happened. Clinton got elected, and what was his big thing? NAFTA, which now Trump is exposed for exactly the garbage and the mess that it was. I mean, it just shredded our manufacturing. I mean, that's literally when the rust set in the Rust Belt. So Wall Street is not friends with Trump and vice versa. Because Trump really does care about the middle class, about Americans, about jobs, and about manufacturing and businesses and doing well here in the U.S. Wall Street wants to maintain as highest profitability amongst their, you know, within their portfolio as they possibly can. And when China was basically giving away the farm to gain all those manufacturing jobs, this complicated phone that idiots will pay $1,000 for, we can make it for $5.72.
Yep.
How do you turn that down?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, how do you turn that down? Well, hopefully, you would measure things on a larger scale. And what I mean by that is, well, what's going to be the overall effect if all the businesses take these opportunities to offshore all these jobs? What is life going to be like in America and for the middle class? It's going to have a very detrimental impact, which it has. So you got to think about it. Now, can I manufacture that phone in the U.S. and still make a profit, a healthy enough profit to where, you know, you can keep the business alive and moving forward and you have enough money to, you know, do R&D and be innovative? You know, I don't know what that number would be for any particular company, but that would be being a, you know, what do they call it? Like a good corporate citizen? Yeah. So the old days of Democrats, you know, looking out for the working people, those days are gone. And they proved it. They absolutely proved it when they gutted our manufacturing and caved in to, you know, the greed of Wall Street, frankly. Again, we're all a little greedy, if we're being honest. I want my 401k to do well. I want Wall Street to do well. That's the only real investment other than real estate that I have, and it's the same probably for a lot of people. So, yeah, I mean, my future's tied into that. But the market reacting, you know, poorly to what Trump is doing was very much expected. Now, the rebound quickly coming, I'll be honest with you, I thought there would be somewhat of a rebound. I predicted that. I never in my wildest dreams thought we'd see a day like we did yesterday. What was it? At one point, I think it was over 3,000 points up. That would be the greatest. That was the biggest a boost ever in stock market history. But I think it was 2,963 points, which, well, it goes back decades anyway. Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. Good morning, Jerry. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Bob. Hey, I voted for Trump in 16, 20, and 24, and I've always supported his policies. But now I've never been more proud, and I really respect the man because he has stood up to China, who has long been a pariah on the world economic stage. And by isolating them, by increasing their tariffs to 125%, he has shown them to be truly a bad actor, and they stand alone now in the world economic stage where the other 70 countries, he's paused the tariffs, and now they've come to negotiate with them. They're showing this kind of drawing the world community around him and around the United States in negotiating fair trade deals. And Russia, China now stands alone as a malignant actor, and hopefully the other world leaders will recognize this. I've been so proud of him, and I really respect him for his courage and tenacity on this.
Very well said, and I have to agree. Isolating China the way that is occurring right now truly is brilliant. The last thing that China wants is to be isolated because trade is their lifeline. It is it's their blood. That trade is what they have. If they can't export, They are dead in the water. Unlike the U.S., which now accounts, our economy accounts for something like, I don't know, 11%. That's minuscule. Germany basically triples that. They export way more than the U.S. does. So if you're a country that you basically live and die on your exports, and you can't come to terms with the largest consumer on the planet, you're going to have problems. You're going to have real economic problems. And it might take them a little bit longer to realize that. Culturally, maybe very, difficult for them to, to want to cave in. But it is going to occur.
Let me ask you something now. Do you think he may play hardball for a while, but then to allow them to save face at some level, because he knows how they think, could he give them a break, but still have made his point and we still benefit?
My response, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And I know exactly what you're talking about. Yep. If he keeps the whole tough thing going.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, because again, if we're talking long term and the long term threat overall, mm-hmm. China's not going to back off in the long game and the big game.
Right.
But the whole save face thing, it does have value, because maybe we didn't have the ability to kind of allow them to save face,
right,
when our economy was growing so well and they were having troubles. And then next thing you know, COVID's unleashed, mm-hmm, from a lab in Wuhan.
Yeah.
Yeah. What could be coming next? Because if you're looking for some sense of playing fair,
oh, no,
there's no playbook for them at all.
No.
They think the end justifies the means. I mean, it is, yeah, Machiavellian. Yeah, whatever you need to do to be in power and in control, that's what they're capable of doing. 7:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We'll get your calls in as well. And today they're teeing off the Masters, Augusta. And you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. He was a player before people called him players.
Huh.
It's historical, and yet it is very relatable to what's going on today. And yes, that is a tease. You'll have to wait for the payoff. It is 7:50, 10 minutes till 8 o'clock. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. I don't like long teases. I'll just tell you right now. You know the Masters kicks off today in Augusta?
Right.
But who was it and when did we have the first international Masters champion?
Okay.
It was on this day, yes, in 1961. Gary Player.
Oh, we grew up knowing that name.
Player, Gary Player. Yeah. Yes, he had that. He had that nice accent because he was from South Africa, mm-hmm, and he was 25 at the time.
Just a kid.
And he defeated the defending champion. You might have heard of this name if you drink iced tea and lemonade.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Arnold Palmer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah. That was the. He became the first international champion at the Masters. And this was, I think, before he invented the Palmer iced tea, because he needed something.
Yeah.
After he choked, he did. He double bogeys the 18th hole at Augusta. That's what gave Player the win.
Really?
Wow. Before my lifetime, don't recall, but of course we know the names in the games.
Yes.
And those are some big ones.
Oh, big time. We grew up knowing them and just hearing them.
Yep. Yeah, even if you weren't necessarily following it. That's right. Well, it's back when there was like three channels.
True. And then Arnold Palmer, just became a character himself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Even after his heyday of playing, so.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, so good things are a-brewing, my friends. Supposed to be a big get-together for the Gators in celebration on Saturday. And if you know details on that, you can share those with us. Meantime, I'm looking and waiting. I don't think they've made the actual times, announcements, and all that. But I plan to give you that as soon as I get the information. I checked earlier, and I didn't have anything solid on it. So, but there is definitely going to be a get-together planned Saturday.
It's just a matter of exactly where. I don't know if it'll be at, you know, Flavette or or what. But Second Amendment Task Force.
I like the sound of that. I like the sound of that.
Yeah. They're going to come in with their jackboots.
Ooh.
And they're going to knock down the liberals' doors, and they're going to go, "Where's your guns?" And they're going to go, "We don't have any." And the ATF agent is going to go and smack them across the face and say, "Snap out of it."
And then give them one.
Yeah. Okay, we went maybe a little further than the purview that this task force is going to operate under.
Yep.
Attorney General Pam Bondi announced the creation of a Second Amendment task force on Tuesday, using a memo to tell DOJ employees the task force was created to prevent Second Amendment rights from being treated like second-class rights.
Ooh, I like that. We needed that.
NBC News published part of the memo. They couldn't do the whole thing because they started to break down and cry. For too long, the Second Amendment, which establishes the fundamental individual right of Americans to keep and bear arms, has been treated as a second class. No more, Bondi said. No
nice.
More. This is going to be, this can be a good thing.
Yeah.
And you know where they should make their first stop. A place that Pam Bondi is very familiar with.
Uh-huh.
Right here in the Sunshine State. She should go right to Tallahassee.
Absolutely.
And if there should be some spanking, slapping, and snap out of it, it should start with some of the leadership in the Florida legislature, in the House and the Senate.
So-called leadership.
Yeah. The squishy, squishy, "I don't like guns. Guns are scary." And they call themselves conservatives and Republicans. They run around and go, "Oh, I'm pro Second Amendment and all that."
But that's dead on arrival. Don't even say
that. That's what they keep saying, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, and the governor's doing his part, and he's, you know, calling him out on this to some extent, because he's the one that says, "Hey, we're the free state of Florida." Mm-hmm. That's kind of our calling cards, who we are. You can't be that when you have restricted, you know, gun laws like California and New York.
Yeah.
I mean, there's 45 states now that have some version of an open carry law, but not Florida.
Which is just so wrong. And even if you don't want to do it, that's not the point at this point.
Well, again, like so many other things that are American, you have a choice.
Yes.
Like, see, under the lefties, they tell you, you know, what you should own, how many you should own. In fact, you really shouldn't own them, and that the guns are evil and they cause people to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not the people, right? It's the guns. So,
right.
Yeah. No. Nope. You've got to stand strong on that Second Amendment.
Yep.
And, you know, the likes of Joe Biden and, you know, what are those deer wearing Kevlar? You know,
which never made any sense.
What do you need 30 rounds for?
It never made sense.
It's because the founding fathers never shouted, "The deer are coming! The deer are coming!"
Yeah,
capiche?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like the other meme kind of related to that. The founding fathers had not just returned from a hunting trip when they put these things together.
No,
they were liberating us as a country. So, context, people, context.
Speaking of which, and how this could relate to what's going on today, O ye of little faith is what I say when people really question Trump. I get it if you're on the left, but if you voted for him, I say, O ye of little faith, give him some time, give him a chance.
Yeah.
But you have to remember, the Revolutionary War was fought and won by not necessarily a majority. So sometimes you just got to hold on tight and you got to believe, and good things are a coming, but there'll be volatility. It's the Bob Rose Show, 97.3 The Sky.